In short, all of these publications are written in the language that the Third International describes, even the very editorials which scorn it. And this is no coincidence, because the Third International isn't setting up any new standards at all. It is simply describing what Life, the Washington Post, and the New York Times are doing. Much of the dictionary's material comes from these very publications, the Times in particular, furnishing more of its illustrative quotations than any other newspaper. And the papers have no choice. No journal or periodical could sell a single issue today if it restricted itself to the American language of 28 years ago. It couldn't discuss half the things we are interested in, and its style would seem stiff and cumbrous. If the editorials were serious, the public and the stockholders have reason to be grateful that the writers on these publications are more literate than the editors. And so back to our questions. What's the dictionary for, and how, in 1962, can it best do what it ought to do? The demands are simple. The common reader turns to a dictionary for information about the spelling, pronunciation, meaning, and proper use of words. He wants to know what is current and respectable. But he wants, and has a right to, the truth, the full truth. And the full truth about any language, and especially about American English today, is that there are many areas in which uncertainty is impossible and simplification is misleading.